Let us turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 through 35. Exodus 34, beginning to read with verse 29. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them, as commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whenever he had commanded. Whatever he had commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. May the Lord bless this reading to our good understanding. We see here an after effect of the receiving of the law by Moses. It's almost an afterthought. The main part of this was Israel getting the law. But then it says at the very end of this passage that after Moses came down, it has this paragraph or this narrative about the shining face of Moses and the fact that there was a radiance about him after this encounter with the Lord. And it's this spiritual experience and its after effects that I want to focus on tonight. And I'll organize the sermon along these lines, that Moses, in his shining face, that Moses reminds us of what is, what was, and what can be. What is, what was, and what can be. The shining face of Moses. Well, what is? This is a graphic and a dramatic example that reminds us that God exists. The fact that Moses' face shines comes about because God existed. God is not a figment of our imagination. It doesn't take faith to see the Lord in the sense that faith conjures up the existence of God. No, God exists and faith reacts to that. Faith responds. Even in our day, in terms of the Word of God, God has given us this huge deposit. Now, what are we to make of it? Faith doesn't conjure up the Word of God. Faith doesn't create the Lord. Faith didn't make the face of Moses shine. No. What caused this all to happen was the simple existence of God. Now, God doesn't always show himself, but when he does, he is real. And that's why all of us are here. We have a fear of the Lord. We have an understanding that God does exist, that he's not a figment of our imaginations. We are simply responding to all that he has testified, all that he has shown us. And the fact that we have a record here of just one of the many occasions where God showed himself, in this case, upon the shining face of Moses, it reminds us of the fact that God exists. Now, there are other things that are. I ask, what is? Moses reminds us of what is. Moses' shining face also reminds us that God is holy and good and righteous. The whole idea of this shining face of Moses is that Moses came in contact with the Lord. I think it's interesting that the text here says that Moses really wasn't aware of this affectation when he came down to speak with the children of Israel. He was so familiar with the Lord, and the time that he had with God was so wonderful that he did not reflect on the radiance that bespoke his face or marked his face. It was simply that which was. Moses was a man. He was in the presence of God, and he came away with this radiance upon his face. And yet, the truth of it is that the shining of his face, the light that is no doubt that no doubt mark the idea of this shining face, comes from God. God is brilliant. God is bright. God is just so lovely. I've got a friend who was having trouble with the doctrine of the Trinity, and he's ventured onto one of these ancient heresies, modalism, where he is trying to argue that Jesus is really the core value, or it's hard to even put language to it, to the person, the main person of the Trinity. And when I asked him for a proof text of this, he said, well, Colossians says that the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ bodily. And he said, so that means that the Father dwells in the Son, and the Spirit dwells in the Son. I said, no, that doesn't say that at all. It says the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ. All that's saying is that in terms of the person and nature of Christ, that he was fully divine. But you've got to go by what the Word of God says. You've got to take the Word of God for what it says and not pour your concepts into that. Well, Moses didn't. There was nothing poured into Moses on this occasion. Moses simply met with the Lord. And there was no Moses adding to or creating the image of God. Moses didn't even know that he had this affectation about his face, showing the power of God, and not only that, but showing the power of God's goodness. Moses shone. So there was a light about Moses. Moses went in and lived with the light. The Bible says that he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was in a kind of a trance whereby God condescended to support him in his life and in his presence. And then without anything added to him, Moses comes out with a shining face. You'd think after that kind of a face, he'd come forth dull. It's a little bit like Daniel when he went without some of the food of the king's palace at that time. And yet at the end of that, his face shone even more brightly than the others at the table, so that the king noticed him and then went to seek him and to find out why he had this radiance. Well, if we draw close to God, there is that capacity, there is that potentiality there, because the Lord exists. And he is who he is. He is holy and righteous and good. And that's a strange thing for this world. But when Moses entered into that presence of God, he came out and he literally shone. He was radiant with the presence of the Lord. So Moses reminds us of what is, because this is the reality. Even though we see so much dullness and so much turmoil and crisis and revolt in this world, what is that God exists and that God is good, and that in this case, that was reflected on Moses' face. Now, what was? The fact that Moses comes out and he has the shining face reminds us of the creation. It reminds us of the things that were. It reminds us of ourselves and how we're put together, how God made us. We remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was to cover their skin. discover themselves, because now they felt naked and ashamed. Before that, the Bible had said that they were naked and unashamed, but now they see that they're naked and ashamed. And they're hiding their faces from the Lord. The very opposite of Moses, you see. This is what was. God created us with a kind of holy innocence where we were happy to show ourselves to the Lord and happy to be in His presence. Now, we know from some of the metaphors of the Scriptures speak of the face of the Lord. We know literally that God does not have a literal face because God is a spirit. Or God is spirit. He's not a spirit. God is absolute spirit. And yet, the Bible uses this metaphor of the face of God because the Bible is trying to communicate with us. And the Bible understands, because God created us this way, that our faces are really the locus of our personalities. As each of you would look into the mirror and see your faces, and see who you are, you see, it would be impossible for me to confuse Scott with Tim, or any of the rest of you, because you are, that face of yours is uniquely yours, because God gave it to you. I often think when I see the young people today, our generation, with all kinds of piercings in their faces and tattoos and that sort of thing, beyond what I think is the ugliness of it, I think that the worst part of it is that it shows they don't understand the beauty of the face. God created us with these faces. And they're beautiful in and of themselves. Maybe you've heard me say before that you'd never take a Picasso that you paid $1 million for and then take it home and improve upon it with your Crayolas or whatever else you thought you might adorn that painting with. How could you besmirch something that is so beautiful and something that is so perfect as that kind of a painting? Well, when I see the faces of the human being, I see the same things. So often you'll see a face that is not that attractive in terms of the flesh, but then when that face smiles and you see the brightness of the energy that God put into us come out through the eyes and through the mouth, you can see how the beauty of that face doubles or triples or quadruples. And you wonder to yourself, how can a person not know how beautiful their face would be if they would smile more often? They don't understand the secrets of creation and the secrets of the way the Lord made us. And so, in this case, what we have is a very special gift that God gave to us as human beings, namely the face of Moses. And we see the face of Moses that is affected. In the history of mankind, we have the creation in beauty. We have the fall into guilt and sin. And then we have that which is glorious, the redemption that follows that. And so in Moses, we see that God works with this fallen face in a sense. Moses was part of the fall. Moses, even though he was redeemed, still in his pilgrimage, he still was weary with much sin and much of that was left over after the fall. And yet he goes in and he has this fellowship, this holy fellowship with God. And he comes out of that with his face shining in wonder. It was so bright and so brilliant that the people were afraid of him. It says that when he came out, he didn't know it, but they did. And so they all backed up and they fled from him. But he spoke with them and he welcomed them back and he told them that they should. And so it's almost In two stages. First, the leaders came back, Aaron, and some of the elders. They came back to be close to Moses, and then it says the people were willing to come back and be with Moses. But that was because of Moses beckoning unto them, that they did not need to be afraid. But the whole fact that they were afraid indicates how penetrating even the reflection of God's glory was. We know in the Bible that when God comes and he shows himself to people like Isaiah, we know how scary that is, because God is holy and we are contaminated in our sin. It's not enough that we are lower creatures than him, that we're created creaturely while he is the creator. That would be scary enough, but now we are in our sin too. And when Moses goes in and spends time with the Lord, the Lord's presence, the Lord's goodness is reflected upon him, and then that reflection, as he comes out from that reflection scares the other people of Israel until Moses beckons unto them to come and to be close to him. And so they did, and this appears to be an affectation of Moses that continued on throughout his life, that when he would go in and speak with the Lord, that his face would be irradiated again spiritually. And when he came out, he'd have to wear the veil. When he went in before the Lord, he wouldn't have a veil. But when he came out, he must wear the veil, or it would just scare the people around him with the reflected presence of the holiness of God. So it was really an amazing thing. That's what was. God exists, etc. What was this amazing occasion? What can be? Moses, in this case, gives us an example of what our future is. I think of when Christ was transfigured before the disciples. He didn't appear to be all that glorious, but then in a moment, the Bible says, he was transfigured, and all of a sudden there was this glorious presence before the disciples. As the deity of Christ manifested itself, the same divine presence which reflected then on Moses on this occasion. And the disciples were awestruck. It's amazing to think, but brothers and sisters, if through the redemption which we have in Jesus Christ, when we get our resurrection bodies, we will be glorious creatures, much more glorious than we are right now. The Bible doesn't go into this at great length. It doesn't describe very much about it, but it does say in the New Testament that in prayer that we can come before the Lord and with unshaded face, so that we can that the future, that the possibilities of our redemption will lead us even to the idea that we can draw close to God, and instead of being destroyed by that divine presence of the Lord, we can be endowed by the reflection of his glory. I take that to be a happy day indeed. Now, it's interesting here that that this brilliant divine presence, the image of the divine presence, the shining face of Moses, it's interesting that this comes about as a consequence of Moses receiving the law. So many people are terrified today of the idea of the law. They seem to think that the law is a killer, just because when the New Testament is talking about justification, it indicates that the law is a killer. If you think that you can be justified by the law, you're greatly mistaken. But what we see here is that the law is no enemy. Paul says in the book of Romans that the law is holy and good and beautiful and lovely. And so on this occasion, it shouldn't escape our minds that it's while Moses is receiving the law of God, that as Moses is in the divine presence, that he's exhilarated, and that he spends 40 days and 40 nights experiencing in some way the divine presence in the context of receiving the law of God. When people talk to me about how dismissive I ought to be about the law, I always remind them that the Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. In other words, God is more concerned with our holiness than he is just with our getting off on some kind of spiritual experience. The height of spiritual experiences has to do with holiness. And so it's the Spirit of holiness that brings us into the presence of God. Now, holiness is not just a synonym for righteousness, although it has that idea in it. Holiness is not just a synonym for goodness. Holiness is a word, as an attribute of God that describes the unique character of God. So that when the Spirit is called the Holy Spirit, it indicates that it's a spirit that comes from the Lord himself. But we know that the Lord himself is has an ethical component to himself. That is, that he is good, that he is righteous, and he is so good and so righteous that it would overwhelm us with a sense of contamination and putridness if we bring our sinful presence into his good and righteous presence, his divine righteous, divine and righteous and good presence. It would utterly undo us. Isaiah, when he had that encounter with the Lord, he cried out, "Woe is me! Woe is me!" That's another term for cursed. He felt cursed in the presence of God. And so, when we ask, what can be? I believe that this little passage and its sister in the New Testament, where it exhorts us that we can, through Christ, that we can come into the presence of the Lord with an unshaded or unadorned face, that we can come before the Lord and enjoy the amazing penetration of the divine God, but without fear, because we have a covering in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, because we have this covering of Christ, we can draw very close to God. And so, if we look at what can be in the future, based upon this, we see that that this is kind of a promise of great things to come, of the proximity that we can have with the Lord, the closeness that we can have with God, the wonderful intimacy that we can have with the Lord. One of the discoveries of cosmetics that women can wear, especially in our day, are these luster lotions, luster creams, and that sort of thing, brush powders and brushes that actually can put a kind of things that reflect the light in the makeup of a woman's makeup. And therefore, when they have this makeup on, it makes their faces shine, because a shining face is more attractive. It's more beautiful, in a sense, visually. But this is all artificial. And we see from this passage that the Lord did this with Moses, and had nothing to do with superficial beauty. It had everything to do with his lovely creation, that is mankind. In this case, a unique man, Moses, whom he had chosen out to experiment on, if you will. Not really. But to show us, the rest of us, that he does exist and that redemption is real and that he can endow us or embellish us with loveliness, with beauty. How beautiful are the feet, the Old Testament says. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news to the rest of the world. And if our feet can be beautiful and are walking with the good news, what about our faces? This is a brilliant example in the Old Testament of the effect of redemption upon our hearts. Some people have remarked in the past, in fact, I heard of a famous fellow lately who's gotten in trouble a little bit by talking about the beauty of people, of Christians, and I think he got in trouble because he talked about it somewhat stupidly. But it's nonetheless true that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of redemption, really does make us more lovely. And if you go into churches with our older people who have lived with the Lord for years and years and years. Some of our grandfathers and our grandmothers. Can we miss the kind of peace that shows forth in their faces? The love that shows forth in their faces. The loveliness. Has this come about for any other reason than that they have lived in the presence of God for a longer time than the rest of us? And in the presence of God, they have come away with some of Moses' sheen showing upon their faces. There's no brighter face than this than Christ Himself in the New Testament, His transfiguration. We can only wonder at the brightness of His face. Oh, we shall see it someday. But if we reflect back, would not it have been wonderful to have seen that face teaching us and preaching to us? How winsome that face would have been because of His closeness to the Father, because of Him being the Son of God and the Son of Man, full of righteousness and goodness and love as we understand it to be. And so the skin of Moses, the face of Moses, there are dimensions of sin with it, but in the case of Moses and in this situation, there was a tremendous lack thereof. And I believe that it's there to teach us some things about our redemption and about the loveliness of it and about the promise of it. There's nothing that we as Christians lack. We have all things with Christ. And in this case, we see the loveliness that shone upon the face of Moses. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we pray that You would be with us. And we pray that we might take this to heart. We pray that we might even hold on to this as a kind of promise, as a kind of an encouragement to draw near to Thee. For we know, O Lord, that as we draw near to Thee, we shall not be uglified. We shall not be made to look dull. We shall not lose any presence or beauty, but we shall only gain loveliness and attractiveness. For how could it be anything else but Thou art the Creator? Thou hast made all things bright and beautiful. Can we wonder, can we be surprised that Thou hast made the face of man Thy special creature? That Thou hast made the face of man bright and beautiful especially? And can we be surprised that in our redemption, having lost this brightness in the fall, can we be surprised that Thou wilt restore it through Thy Spirit, at least partially? That the first fruits of redemption would not be ours in this life? And that we might therefore have so much to hope for in that a new heaven, a new earth that Thou wilt bring in our new creation, and in our resurrection bodies. Oh God, we wonder at the amazing things that will be ours in the future. And so we pray that You would encourage us to press on in faith through this veil of tears and through all of the dark things of this world, that we might press on to be close with Thee, so that Thou canst embellish us with the brightness of Thy presence. We pray that we might especially do this through the law of God, that we might call upon Thy Spirit to make us zealous, to be fuller and deeper Christians as defined by the law. The law tells us about Thy goodness, O Lord. And Moses said in Deuteronomy 4 that the goodness of Thy law could not be doubted, that the beauty of it could not be compared to the other affairs of men, to their inventions, their concoctions of ethics and righteousness. For Thou, O Lord, didst reveal all things unto Moses in terms of the beauty of Thy law. Be with us, O Lord, then, and help us to draw close to Thee. Encourage us with this story and with this account, and help us to be all the more encouraged to draw close to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.